Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Quality sleep optimizes recovery, helping professional and everyday athletes perform their best. Only the Sleep Number Smart Bed is proven to improve the quality of sleep and provides valuable insights that can be used to support overall wellness. Talent on a college team allows the best players to outperform their opponents, but in the NFL, everyone is talented. Players entering the draft need every competitive edge they can get, starting with quality sleep. Training will only get more intense as players transition to the pros, so to optimize recovery, they can rely on Sleep Number for consistent, high-quality sleep. Experience game-changing sleep with a Sleep Number smart bed only at a Sleep Number store.
It's a Tuesday edition here on Zero Block 30, and today we have five rounds in a magazine. Round number one. This weekend, people were shitting down Tom Cotton's neck because he claimed to be a ranger while he was in Iraq, and people were, I guess they were scroll-splaining to everyone, scrolling, tab-splaining. Was it just a little stolen valor goofing by old Tom Cotton? We're going to discuss that in round number one. Round number two, in a doggy bag of sort, the Miami Heat are bringing in detector dogs to smell for coronavirus. Will that work? Well, it's hard to say. Round number three, lots of changes are happening in the Oval Office. The British are upset about a statue, and a beloved soft drink has also been removed. Will democracy survive? Round number four, National Guard troops were parked in the garage in the Capitol, and people are big, big mad about it. Finally, round number five, what's the craziest thing someone you knew in uniform said or believed? I'm going to let you know some of these are absolutely ridiculous things that they believe. My favorite personal, before we get going, obviously the Marines in Okinawa who believe that you really could swim underneath Okinawa. They thought that it was just a floating island. That's my favorite because they were so earnest. And really, islands don't make a lot of sense. Like the way that the ocean fills in everything is kind of weird. Like when you think there's mountain ranges on the ocean floor, I think you just kind of look at the ocean like it would be like a pool where it would be smooth. But right. Finding out there's full out mountain ranges underneath the ocean, when you first find that out, it blows your mind a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, a little bit. Because you look at islands, you're like, oh, that could just be floating.
But it's like, not. Why would you think that there's mountain ranges? Because think when you go to the beach and you go out into the water, everything's smooth there at the beach. There's not a whole lot of like mountainous little ranges. Mm-mm. And then you get further out, things get a little more complicated.
Yeah.
Get a little more complicated. That's a good way of putting it. All right.
Something to think there. About. That's for sure.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You can think about that while you're trying our friends at 3Chi. 3Chi is changing the way that I sleep. That's for damn sure. The 3Chi Delta 8 is federally legal. Even if you live in a state like Texas, you can have it. Weed is illegal in Texas. Delta 8 is not. You can even have it coming in the mail. If you want to get it online, go to 3Chi.com. That's the number 3CHI.com. It's at retailers around the country. You must be 21 to purchase. And remember, it's CBD. It's not CBD. It's psychoactive and it'll give you a little bit of buzz, so you got to do it responsibly. Don't drive or do anything like that. Use same kind of like drinking rules whenever you do that. That's what I say. Use the promo code ZBT2021 to receive 5% off at your checkout. That's 3chi.com with the promo code ZBT.
Kind of ties into round number four. Currently at Barstool, there's a little contest going on called Surviving Barstool, where we have some colleagues who have to stay in the office for the entire week and do various challenges, and who's ever left standing wins $10,000. That's all well and good. But we're already on day one and I'm sick of this. I am so sick of them. Oh, you're sleeping in your temperature controlled environment. You can get food at any one of the number of amazing places. I'm getting them. They're all, oh, I slept like crap. Oh, I can't.
I'll have you know I took my ass to Iraq and I slept outside for 7 months.
I slept in the dirt.
I didn't give a shit.
I didn't take a shower with running water for 7 months. So you know what?
I ate oatmeal with piss.
I ate my own urine.
Yeah, and they're all complaining already. You're right. They don't have comfy sleeping arrangements. Well, piss poor planning leads to piss poor good times is what they say in the military.
Piss poor planning does lead to piss poor good times. That's what the saying
That's
is.
The way it goes.
I saw old Tommy Smokes complaining this morning about his back hurting, his fingers hurting. Well, his little feet are going to hurt too because he just pulled an all night shift of Firewatch for complaining. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to round number one. Round number one, we're going to talk a little about Lenny from Mice and Men, right, Kate?
No, we're going to skip that. We're going to head on into, but big political news over the weekend. We got a bit of a stolen valor goof going on.
Uh-huh.
And this comes to us from Salon.com. Roger Sullenberger, Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas, has accrued a resume tailor-made for a Republican politician. He leapt from a small town in Arkansas, a little cattle farm, over to Harvard University, then Harvard Law. He left a leading New York law firm to join the military after George W. Bush's reelection. He was discharged after nearly 8 years, 2 war zone deployments as an Army captain, decorated hero, 2 commendation medals, a Bronze Star, and a Ranger tab. But when Cotton launched his first congressional campaign in 2012, he felt compelled to falsify that honorable military record, even as he still served in the Army Reserve. In his first,
I would just like it on record. I don't like that sentence. This whole article feels like it's going after this guy, and it just seems a little harder than it needs to be. Continue.
Okay. In his first run for Congress, Cotton leaned heavily on his military service, claiming to have been a U.S. Army Ranger in Iraq and Afghanistan, and in a campaign ad to have volunteered to be an Army Ranger. In reality, Cotton was never part of the 75th Ranger Regiment, the elite unit that does all sorts of special ops. Cool bullshit, as they would say. I'm on one today. Rather, Cotton attended the Ranger School, a 2-month-long small unit tactical infantry course that literally anyone in the military is eligible to attend. Soldiers who complete the course earn the right to wear the Ranger tab, a small arch that reads Ranger. But in the eyes of the military, that does not make them an actual Army Ranger.
So that's essentially the story there. Like, what they're saying is that there is a difference between being a tabbed ranger and being a scrolled ranger. Like, scrolled rangers, you're in the 75th, and you actually go do, like, special operations command shit. Ranger tab, you just graduated the school. And I had no idea, I think until I talked to Alejandro Villanueva about it, that I didn't know that was a distinction. I thought that anybody who graduated from the school, you're a ranger. I had no idea that that's the way it was. Cons, is that a big deal in the Army where people talk about it?
It's one of those things that everyone kind of just understands to be true and no one really gets on anyone else. I will say not everyone's eligible to go to Ranger school. If you're some fat body mess, you're not getting sent to Ranger school. You have to be really squared away before your unit says, okay, yeah, we'll send you to Ranger school, because they don't want to waste time with people that they don't think can actually make it through, because it is very tough. But there is that distinction where technically he's not wrong. And I didn't go to Ranger school, nor did I serve in the Ranger regiment. So I reached out to some buddies just to get their sentiments. And basically what they said and what I expected them to say was, you're not technically wrong to say you're a Ranger if you're a Ranger qualified. It's just exactly what they said when they used the word misleading. Because most people, chaps, you were a Marine, you were in the military, and you didn't even know that there was a difference. Unless you're in the Army, you're just a civilian, you hear Ranger, you just assume you're one of the elite and you're part of this unit that does elite missions, when that's not necessarily the case. So he wasn't technically wrong, because a lot of people who will go to Ranger school will say they're a Ranger. But then the guys who are in 75th, they will clown on anybody who says that and say, well, you're not a real Ranger, but that's nice that you have the tab.
Yeah, and I actually got into a little bit of, people were shitting down my neck about a blog I wrote one time about old Mason Plumley. When he graduated from Ranger school, I said that he was a Ranger, and they're like, well, he's tabbed, not scrolled.
Yeah.
And that's when we really like hit home that people really do gate guard a lot of that shit. I don't like Tom Cotton and a lot of the things that he does. I think that he's kind of slimy, but I think that going after somebody for this misses the mark. Like, there's so many other big things to worry about. If somebody called themselves a Ranger and they might not technically be like the fullest term of it. Like, I think that's kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
No, I will say a larger article that I would be interested to read would be, because it's politicians from the military on both sides, Republican, Democrat. Mm-hmm. They both rely so heavily on our nation's blind hero worship of the troops. Mm-hmm. They know the civilians don't know shit. And that's not a knock on civilians. Why would they?
Right.
And like, but they know they don't know shit except for big key buzzwords like Ranger and battle mm-hmm. and this and that. And every single campaign ad, I've seen it on both sides of the fence for veterans in the military, are so oversaturated. Just
well, yeah, he knew what he was doing when he kind of insinuated that, oh, I was an Army Ranger in Iraq. Well, technically, you are Ranger qualified. You were in Iraq with the 101st, but you're insinuating that you're with the Ranger Regiment.
And the same thing could be said too with like the Bronze Star, like with him. Like there was a lot of comments on there being like, if you're including the Bronze Star that you got in combat, people automatically assume you're talking about a valor related award. When that's not necessarily the case, you can get a Bronze Star for administrative purposes right. as well. So when you say that I was an Army Ranger who received a Bronze Star in Iraq, that starts to mean I was doing extreme shit to get an extreme award in a combat zone. Yeah.
You know, exactly. And that's why misleading for sure and calculated, very calculated.
Oh, it's definitely calculated.
You know exactly what a civilian.
He's not like, what? I mean, this dude's Harvard educated twice.
Exactly.
Like, he's a smart guy. He knows what he's doing.
And so, yeah. Yes, that is slimy because you are like, that may be part of why you're in the position you're in is because you convinced people you're something you're not. Yeah. And I see both sides do it and it's slimy and it's gross. But so, yeah, I am.
I asked former ZBT guest, one of my mentors, Chad Jenkins, who was a Ranger in 75th Ranger Regiment, and I asked him if he was bothered by it, and he said ultimately he wasn't bothered by it, but what he said he was bothered by was the fact that there were two combat veterans serving in the Senate and Congress on opposite sides of the aisle. They're furthering the divide rather than uniting it. And to that, there was the former SOCOM commander, Tony Thomas, who tweeted quote tweeted Representative Jason Crow, and he said, first, wear your beret correctly. Second, this is a dumb debate.
That one, I love that shit.
Yeah. He's like, you're a congressman now, act like it. This is a dumb debate. Feel pretty qualified to say that. Need you to focus on more important things for the good of the nation. You and Senator Tom Cotton get together and work like Ranger buddies. And I think that's the sentiment that we need to focus on. Stop trying
that
to dunk on
that dude needs to be in
other.
Office. He's yeah. the one that needs to be in office. That's like real leadership. The former SOCOM commander.
Right.
I've actually reached out to him. I'm going to try to get him on the show so he can shit down Jason Crow's face. But Jason Crow went from being like the king of the castle for everything that happened in the Capitol on January 6th to getting dunked on by the SOCOM commander. Sometimes you just got to take your win and just mosey on down the road a little bit. Mm-hmm. Jason Crow tried to dunk on Tom Cotton for it, and he was wearing his actual tan beret that he got from the 75th Ranger Regiment. It didn't really go out that well.
So, but you know what's interesting about the Ranger Regiment is you don't have to have a Ranger tab. Now, if you went as an officer into the Ranger Regiment and didn't have a tab, people would look at you crooked. But a lot of the guys who are in the Ranger Regiment did not go to Ranger school. So it's like this whole big convoluted thing. That's really just a bunch of semantics at this point. They shouldn't be just trying to dunk on each other. They should just work together.
I would just love to do a review where I take every single veteran in Congress right now and I go back through their ad campaign to run. And then I match it up with their record, and then I make them come forward and be like, all right, I got a couple notes here. You exaggerated a little bit.
Yeah, I think it was Blumenthal that did it with Vietnam, like where he's talked about he was in Vietnam era, and he actually never went to Vietnam, and people are always saying that his is like stolen valor too. Like he served during the Vietnam era, but he never went to Vietnam.
There's yeah. another, the gentleman, I think he's from South Carolina, but the Paralympians right now are calling him out because he
Madison Crawford.
Madison, whatever. He ran saying he was he was training for the Paralympics and blah, blah, blah. And he was posting all these videos.
And then he had gotten to the Naval Academy.
Never got into the Naval Academy, was never headed there, and was never, all these Paralympians on the article were like, actually, we've been making fun of that guy for years because we've been watching him fake it and everyone believing it. And
he tried to explain it away that he was training for the Paralympics, and somebody that's actually a Paralympian, I think it was like a gold medal Paralympian, said on Twitter, like, that's like me saying that when I was in the fifth grade, I'm training to be in the NFL draft.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, like, but so
it's just, It's wild to me in 2021 that anyone would say anything or try to lead anybody down the path of any sort of impropriety, because it's so easy these days to get your facts checked. And there's nothing worse than having that feeling of knowing you've been caught in a fib. So why even bother?
Because in the military, veteran world, and politics, it's like the Spider-Man pointing at each other meme. Yeah, okay, you can point me out, bitch, but guess what? You did it too. So
not even just the military, but it's anything that touches the military too. Like, who was the news reporter that said that he was like flying over?
What's that, Brian Williams?
Yeah, Brian Williams, like saying all this shit that he had done while he was in theater and was there. None of it was true.
And all, I mean, to take it further, are we not all a little guilty in some way?
You get a couple drinks and you'll say anything.
What I'm saying is, like, when you get out, they're like, here's how you translate your military experience onto your resume. And it's like, so it was me and leading five guys as we mostly for like 5 months threw rocks at a can. All right, so look at your leadership skills there. You're battle tested. I'm like, I don't know. I feel like sometimes things get inflated and
there was a Marine that I served with that got out as a Lance Corporal, which nothing wrong with that, whatever. Like, you get out and you did your time. But he got out as a Lance Corporal, was running for sheriff of his small town in Tennessee. And this dude that got out of Lance Corporal, he got out as a Lance Corporal because he had gotten NJP'd and busted down for stealing government gas into his POV. Like, that's the reason why he was like, didn't move on with his career. But the way that his resume and his ad campaign, whenever they would post on Facebook, I would always be like, this dude is acting like he's fucking Recon Ranger. Like, he was a shitbag.
I think that's what I'm getting at. I feel like some of the people I served with who were the worst are the ones who tout their military experience the biggest now, and they use it to their advantage too. And I think on some level, we've all like, and I don't think there's anything wrong with leveraging your military experience to succeed. I feel like a lot of things I have in life now are because I served and because I wasn't afraid to take advantage of opportunities that came my way because of it. But I also wasn't saying like,
I do think a lot of veterans will undersell their military experience, not realizing how difficult it was when they were doing certain things. And they don't want to be those people who are trying to over leverage it. So they undersell it. Yeah. So you got to find that place.
Oh yeah. There's a fine line for being foolish and not using it at all to being made fun of. Like, right. And you gotta toe that line a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
You're right. Figure it out. Politicians, find the middle ground.
No doubt about it. Let's move on to round number two. This one comes to us from ESPN, I believe, which I think is a cardinal sin here at Barstool Sports. But the Miami Heat are bringing back some fans with the help of some dogs. The Heat will use coronavirus-sniffing dogs at American Airlines Arena to screen fans who want to attend their games. They've been working on plans for months, and the highly trained dogs have been in place for some games this season in which the team has allowed a handful of guests. Starting this week, a limited number of ticket holders will be back in the seats, provided they get past the dogs first. Quote, if you think about it, detection dogs are not new, said Matthew Jafarian, the Heat's executive vice president for business strategy. You've seen them in airports. They've been used in mission-critical situations by the police and the military. We've used them in the arena for years to detect explosives. The Heat's first game with ticket soldiers set for Thursday against the Clippers, and Monday is the first day that they'll be able to start securing their seats. And they go on to say that how they train the dogs a little bit, and they say that there's going to be questions before you actually go into the arena you go by. And in order to get these dogs screened, they have to pass a test, of which anybody with any kind of license can do. Like, it's a bullshit thing that they have. But a German study last year said that dogs were 94% right in detecting coronavirus.
What?
Yeah. Now, I'm a dog handler by trade. Like, that's what I did when I was in. And I know, like, the process of getting a dog to find something. There has been dogs that are trained to find things that you wouldn't necessarily believe. Like cancer. They can detect
and like
rot in wood, for example. Like, if there's a long power line, you could send dogs down to see if there's rotting on the inside. They can find a litany of things. I don't buy this shit for a half a second.
No.
Wait, I'm sorry. How do they explain to me how they detect cancer?
Well, like, the cancer is the smell, like the different smell of like flesh. Like there is a smell that comes from that, so you could do it. But the virus thing, though, they said that they're spilling the effects of somebody that has virus. This is just bullshit. All this is, it's a psychological deterrent. 94%, there is no fucking chance. Like the amount of odor that comes off of explosives is far greater than anything that's going to be like in a virus or cancer or anything like that. In order to pass certification, the dog has to be at the standard of 95%. Getting a dog to a 95% standard on explosives that has a pretty distinct signature is difficult. Like whenever you're talking about hiding it in something, hide it in different bodies. First of all, like once you, if you're doing explosives, cabinets and all that shit, they all smell different, but they kind of smell the same. You're talking about people, like well, different types, we're not different just, clothes.
We're,
huh?
We're talking about Florida people.
Florida
that's
people.
That's a whole that cornucopia.
Stinking and all kinds of shit.
Right. No offense to you chaps, but.
None taken but at all. I'm a smelly fella.
I would imagine you're like a bouquet to a dog.
I mean, imagine if I had some venison sausage and went out there.
Absolutely.
No pun intended. This just seems like a real big dog and pony show to me to say like, hey, look what we're doing to make our arena look safe. I don't know if you guys watched the football games this weekend. There are just a ton of fans and they can space them out all they want. I'm not buying that. Like they're walking next to each other, walking in and out of the stadium. Mm-hmm. They're not keeping their distance. People who are willing to go into these stadiums and arenas, they're just, I think, comfortable with being around other people. And that's their prerogative. But I don't think having dog, that's just one more thing to say like, oh, well, they have coronavirus sniffing dogs, so we're safe.
I mean, credit to the person who owns this company. It's a brilliant company to make because business leaders, even if it doesn't work, it's a psychological deterrent and it shows people that we're doing everything that we possibly can. Like if you, it's got to be just for like liability purposes, right? Like you go like Miami Heat's ownership would be like, look, we did everything we possibly could.
Right,
we
right.
even brought in these specialized dogs that are helped train find coronavirus. We can't be culpable. We had the screening, we had all this stuff, and we had the dogs.
You know, I go to the bathroom everywhere now, and I point at my belly. I'm like, can I use your bathroom? Prego, huh? And they say yes.
I'll get on in there, you.
There's a restaurant I went to pee in after work the other day, and they had taken a metal detector from a high school and just put a temperature thing on top so that now when guests walk through, it like blinks green and it's like, you don't have coronavirus. You're good. And I'm like, that's not real.
That is not a thing. Yeah. Well, that is not like a thing.
Yeah. Well, and but it makes people feel better though. It's
right.
Like,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. It's
absolutely.
A placebo effect for security.
Yeah.
For your own like viral security. It's like that. I forget what team it was. I think it was the Panthers during NFL training camp. Where they had that system set up where it was like Mister and they mixed the water with hand sanitizer while the players are running underneath it. Like, that's not science.
You
like,
know what I would do
how this works.
If I owned the Heat and I wanted to just fuck with people? You know, the big test for coronavirus is if you can do the duck walk. If you can do the duck walk, you're fine. You got to strip down into your underpants. But if you can make it down this hallway to the popcorn stand, you're good.
Now, what if, when's the last time you guys have been to Disney World? Kyle, you might have been recently. Have you been to Disney World any time last couple years?
I've never been to Disney World.
Oh, wow.
You looked at Kyle and was like, that's
a
Disney
man? Do I look like
a
Disney World
guy? He's a dad. He lives in North Carolina.
I'm a terrible
Load
father.
Him up, Kyle.
He's got a giant beard and an axe.
I've never been to Disney World either.
I've been to Disneyland.
Well, at Disney World, they have this... where you go watch like Fantasia, they have this big theater that has, it's like an interactive movie theater. It's like 5D or something like that, where whenever they're doing the Fantasia, they're mopping, water will come out and spray you in the face, like from the seat in front of you. That's what they should get those seats at games. And whenever you start yelling really loud and there's like a signature of it, it just sprays hand sanitizer on you so you don't get your coronavirus anywhere. Just like, you're getting too excited. Here's some spray.
Yeah.
Clean yourself up a little bit.
Or
that would work out great.
Miami, lazy river of hand sanitizer. Mm-hmm. You guys want to float in the sanitizer pool? You got the pool
seats?
I mean,
honestly, because it's a little bit thicker, if you have one of those foam floats, you know, like that looks like a little mattress, I'd go on a hand sanitizer, lazy river.
You just have to seal your genital holes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's it's alcohol. That would sting. Mm-hmm. So let's be Let's be smart about this.
Also, this made me think, if we have dogs that can sniff out coronavirus, for all the Lance Corporals and PFCs out there, we should probably get a chlamydia sniffing hound or something for Monday mornings formations.
Yeah, that'd be difficult, though, to have dogs just walk up to everybody's cooch and dick and sniff it.
Yeah. I mean,
because a lot of times as a dog handler, you have to present, like, put your hand where they want to. Like, and you could even do, like, you're not supposed to, but you could tap, like, if you really wanted to get them to go up there.
Oh, you're doing a little tap. You're doing some spirit fingers there. But I tell you, man, I was just down in Florida. People in Florida do not care about this thing. So I don't think this really makes any bit of difference. They're willing to go into that arena.
You've been talking to my mom?
Yeah. Watch. When the Super Bowl happens in 2 weeks, what is your guess right now? How many fans will be in that stadium?
Oh, they have limits on it. So I think they said 15,000 is what they said.
Okay. All right. Well, I think
20. A majority of those fans, actually, they came out like if it was not a corporate sponsorship and they didn't get a booth, it's going to be frontline workers who have already received the vaccine.
Oh, that's great. Awesome. Fantastic.
Yeah. Wow. Also, I know this is a military podcast, but I have to. Tom Grady is the greatest athlete of all time.
He's
like,
good.
Not necessarily the greatest athlete. He is the greatest leader on a football team of all time.
Yeah. All time. I said prior to the season, I did not think that the Bucs would see that big of a difference in their performance with just adding Brady. And I was wrong, clearly. And what he's been able to do with a brand new team in year one is certainly impressive.
Yeah, and 18% of all Super Bowls he has started in.
That's bananas that he's done that. Yeah.
He has now, that was his 33rd career win. Joe Montana is next with 16 playoff wins, and he has 33. Mm. He has as many NFC championships as Aaron Rodgers does, as Drew Brees does. Like, that is insane, man. Like, the things that he's doing is just crazy.
And what's crazy about Brees and Rodgers is they always get talked about in the discussion about who's the greatest, who are the top five, top ten of all time. And when you look at where he is relative to them, it's not even close, like you said. It's kind of bananas.
Boy, if I was a victory sniffer dog, I'd sit down at his feet and go, ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's exactly right, Kate. Yep. All right, let's move on to round number three, which today is going to be brought to you by our good friends at Bare Bottom Clothing. Bare Bottom Clothing, they are some comfortable-ass pants. I was wearing mine around. I got to be honest, I have one pair. I wore them both days this weekend because they're so comfortable. Like, just throwing them on, you look nice, feel nice. Bare Bottom Clothes has also donated 100,000 pairs of shorts to children in need through their One For You, One For Them program. For a limited time, they're switching things up and will donate a protective mask to the first responder, teacher, or someone in need for each purse of items. Over 200,000 masks they've already donated. Wow, that's a lot. BareBottomClothing.com with the promo code Zero. You're going to get free shipping. Use Zero to check out at BareBottomClothing.com. It is great. They have stretchy joggers. They have spandex fabric blends. They have moisture wicking tech tees. They have all kinds of stuff. Make sure you go to their website at barebottom.com with the promo code Zero. Round number three is up. What do we have, Kate?
Well, for round number three, we have, first of all, well, I'll get to this in a second. Round number three. God damn it. Okay, hold on. Because immediately, I'm sorry, I was literally, as you were talking, I was staring at this man's teeth. Nigel.
I think you just got to go with that in that case. You got to say it.
I didn't want to be rude.
I'm just going to leave it.
That's what the point of this podcast is, yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. We got some bad teeth in round number three, which, no offense, means we're talking about the UK.
I
got
to cut Kate off here. I'm disappointed in Kate right here. She wasn't going, her initial thought when she saw the picture that I put in the sheet, that she was going to make fun of somebody's teeth. I need you to just rear back and fire. Like,
motherhood, no, motherhood's making her soft.
Yeah, you may commence fire when your able targets appear.
This man looks like his teeth are made of Chiclets gum that sat at the bottom of a Coca-Cola bottle for 4 years. Anyway.
You know, like when you leave a penny and in your little cup holder in your car and it gets a little wet.
Yep.
And at the bottom, like, you pick it up and you have to peel it out and it's kind of like slimy and nasty. It looks like somebody took those pennies and formed them into teeth.
Yeah. So that's Anyway, we'll get to him in a minute. It's the end of a very caffeinated era. When former President Donald Trump occupied the Oval Office, he quite literally had a button on his desk that ordered a Diet Coke to the room whenever it was pressed. And by the way, we asked online, what would you have if you on your recliner, you're sitting in front of your TV, you have your recliner, you guys get this button that for the rest of your life, whenever you press it, you can't be food and drink, but you get one food or one drink always brought to you on a silver platter. What are you guys doing?
If I could have, you know, I would love to have an icy. I think like a nice icy every now and then would just be lovely, but I want it to be something every day. So I'd probably go with like a cold brew coffee.
Okay. Yeah. That's fair. Cons.
Well, first of all, Mike Francesa was reached for comment for this and he said, that's a great idea. Okay. but I think, like you said, if it's every day, I can't, like, what I would really want, I would want a chocolate milkshake button. But if I just start having chocolate milkshakes multiple times a day, that's not good. So,
you know, you're right, because that was basically the mantra of my favorite childhood book called The Chocolate Touch, where this little kid loved chocolate and he made a wish that everything he ate turned to chocolate. And then by the end of the day, he didn't want chocolate anymore. I mean, he was brushing his teeth with chocolate. He was having orange juice was chocolate. The water was chocolate. Everything was chocolate. And eventually he was like, enough chocolate. I've had the chocolate.
So probably just like a cup of tea, you know.
A little cuppa. Okay.
A little cup of tea.
Kyle?
Some green tea maybe?
I'm going with a Budweiser. I want a cold Budweiser. You know, I'm not going to go overboard. One or two a day.
Kyle, I have a very important question to ask you, and this will determine a lot. Does this Budweiser come in a can, a bottle, a frosted mug? How are you getting this Budweiser?
Maybe I'll have, if I press it twice, I want it in a can. And if I press it, you know, three times, I want it in a frosted mug. And one time is a bottle. Budweiser's Budweiser, my friend. It's all good.
You and my mom, kindred spirits, crushing Bud heavies all day. Well, you're all idiots. The correct answer is a very expensive caviar that I would have brought to me every day. And then I would just sell it online and get rich. Anyways,
because everyone knows the President of the United States is really hard up for cash.
Need to do that black market caviar goofing. Yeah.
Anyway, so they got rid of President Donald Trump's Diet Coke button in the Oval Office. But as a glimpse at President Biden's desk just hours after his inauguration shows, the button's gone. And not only that, Winston Churchill has been removed for the Oval Office. Nigel Farage, this is the tooth guy. Now, pardon me if I don't know who this is. I'm an American. Anyone outside my borders, I don't know. Yeah, he's a blue.
He used to be the leader of the Conservative Party in England and was very instrumental in their part in Brexit. Like, he was a big Brexit guy.
Not a big brush it guy, clearly, this fucking guy.
Very against fluoride in water, too, oddly enough.
He did a tweet standing in front of, I guess, during the Trump era, standing in front of this Winston Churchill painting that has been removed from the Oval Office.
That's very much not Winston bust. Churchill in that painting.
It's a bust of him. It's the statue. Yeah. Oh, I cropped that
part. Yeah, I was like, wait, what? That's Thomas Jefferson.
It's a bust of Winston Churchill. That's actually Andrew Jackson.
Looking at those guys all kind of look alike.
I was like, Winston Churchill looks old as shit in this painting.
That might be Jefferson.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think that's Thomas Jefferson. But yeah, you're right. They do all look the same.
Anyway, he says the bust was removed of Winston Churchill. He says, if true, this is a slap in the face to the British and any prospects of good relations. And again, all I can do is look at his teeth. All I can do is look at Nigel Farage's teeth and say, how goddamn British is that? So do you guys think it's a slap in the face that Winston Churchill... I feel like every president redecorates...
Why do you got fucking Winston Churchill anyway? He wasn't our president. Get him out of here. I mean, should we have the fucking queen in the Oval Office too?
No.
No, we're not Canada. We're not still one of your little people that put your face on our money. We fought a war, so we didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
We don't want your shit. Get out of here.
I'm somewhat torn here. Obviously, we broke away from them a long, long time ago, but then Winston Churchill was... very instrumental in our winning of World War II, although it was ultimately us that won everything for everybody else.
Look, when the Prime Minister of England has Jimmy Carter's bust in their office, then they could say something.
I mean, for the last time, I mean, every president changes and does their own thing and makes, you can even put different desks in there if they want to. They can have the resolute
How would you decorate the Oval Office if you were president?
I would get a nice IKEA Flugen desk.
I'd
you
get
know?
Rid of those couches in there. Those look uncomfortable as hell.
I got to get new curtains too.
I would bring my Lazy Boy. Spork would have Spork in the Oval Office.
Cat tower.
But the fanciest.
How much would he love a cat tower? Because it's an oval. He could just run in circles.
Huge cat tower. Absolutely. Maybe a small window that like in Richie Rich, the McDonald's is on the other side of it. Mm-hmm. Or something like that. So late night nuggets.
Now picture this. Okay. So if we have like blank check style house in the White House, but instead of like the slide going down to the pool, if somebody comes in, like the chief of staff comes in and they're like, Mr. or Madam President, we have something going down in the Situation Room. We need you to come down. In his suit, he runs over to the edge of the wall, goes into like a slide, and it slides him down, and then he lands right in his seat. In the head of the table in the Situation Room. That would be
awesome.
I'm in for that, but I think right now, currently for our president, 78 years of age, I don't know if that's the best idea. He might hurt a hip or something.
No, he needs to have one of those beds that lift you up automatically so you don't spit up on yourself.
Does President Biden have one of those buttons? You remember the I'm falling and I can't get up commercials? Does he have one of those?
Life alert.
Yeah, that's it. No, I would say.
Oh, man, he's missing out. The money that he can make doing ad reads for Life Alert from the Oval Office.
Oh, gosh.
Your Secret Service ever asleep on the job? Ever been to find your pen? Have presidential life.
What if he's like, instead of the chair at the Oval Office, he's like, I'd like a medicine ball, please. Or not one of those big balls that people sit
Swiss
on.
Ball.
Yeah.
Where he's trying to improve his
I heard he's sitting on a Swiss ball. And by the way, he replaced the painting of Andrew Jackson has been replaced with Chaps' favorite turkey roaster.
Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin, for those that are keeping score at home, used to cook his turkeys by, wait for it, electrocution.
He used to electrocute him.
He would plug prongs into his turkeys and just electric shock the shit out of them and then serve them outside of his house where he used to bathe on the back porch.
Yeah,
I have a question. Out of all the countries in the world, though, is it safe to say Britain's like our best friend?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, easily. So it's like...
Them in Canada.
So, you know, your best friend, they're just a little upset. I get it. They're a little upset. We took away their stat, their head, their bust, and...
Oh, he's fake mad. He's out of office now. He's not doing his thing. This is fake mad for retweets. Yeah. So he'd be like, yeah, hell yeah. Put him back in there. We love Winston Churchill. What did Winston Churchill do? We don't know. We don't know at all.
Yeah.
I'm not too mad
about
it.
That's what
they all say. I'm ultimately okay with having it removed. Put it somewhere else. It's fine.
He has...
You know, take that motherfucker sideways and shove it straight up their candy asses.
I don't know if this is the first bust of a lady in the Oval Office, but he's got a bust of Rosa Parks, Eleanor Roosevelt. We got some ladies in there now, so I'm not mad at that.
Eleanor Roosevelt, people actually thought old Eleanor was Hugo Chavez.
Right.
So.
But still better teeth than what's-his-face. I'll give her that.
But, I mean, honestly, Joe, what are you doing? President Biden, what are you doing removing the button? Just switch what comes in. Pushing the button. You shouldn't have gotten rid of the button. The button's great.
What if he already said he's gonna have his two dogs in there, which is awesome. Like the two, one of them being a rescue dog, I think is fantastic, and they're also getting a cat. What if he had just had, I think their names are Champ and I forget the other one's name, but whenever the dogs are in there, he pushes the button and they get a treat.
Something. Getting rid of the button is a bad move. You're off to a bad start, Mr. President. Need the button back. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, let's move on to round number four. Round number four, this is a nice little story because...
I started to write a blog about this. Kyle was like, is anyone blogging this? Blah, blah. The blog is done. I couldn't bring myself to publish it because I couldn't bear the comments that would be coming forth. Something inside me just died as I was writing it, and I just couldn't. But... it's the National Guard troops, you know, leading up to the election. 25,600 Guard troops were deployed to D.C.
Oh, nailed that number, Kate.
Yeah.
Well done.
Look at me reading numbers.
Yeah.
And of course, they were all sleeping. There's these photos that have gone super viral of them sleeping on the floor of the Capitol. And all these politicians were bringing them pizzas and doing photo ops with them and coming to spend time with them. Well, immediately after the inauguration, guess where they got swept away to, these troops?
A little bit of a parking
garage. Out of sight, out of mind. They were all swept over to a parking garage. The news of the troops' treatment Thursday night after the inauguration, it created outrage. A flurry of congressional phone calls quickly resulted in guard members being moved out of the Thurgood Marshall Judicial Center garage before midnight to a new break area. And this all started, like, tweets and articles started coming out of troops saying they felt betrayed and there was only two bathrooms for 5,000 of them. Most importantly, there was no Wi-Fi in the Thurgood Marshall parking garage.
Oh my God.
Which would make me legit insane. But it was, you know, parking garages are cold. They smell. There's exhaust. There's this. There's that. But immediately politicians were like, once again, like, this is a travesty. And then civilians were like, politicians don't care about the troops. And the troops were like, this just fucking sucks in general, but that's the huge. And so it was just this whole big flurry of craziness and people saying, like, this is a clear sign already. Biden hates the troops. And it was just, to me, it was just a failure on the National Guard not seeing that they were going to get.
It was very over the top. Like the coverage of it was extremely over the top. One, that's not what they were spending the night. It's where they're in the middle of a shift, where they're doing like their break periods. You're not going to go back to your room in a hotel. No matter where they put them, they could have put them in like Madison Square Garden and they would all be sitting around in little cuddle puddles no matter where they go.
Right.
Like that's just the way the nature of this is. And there's not a shot that this happened because a congressperson said, we need to get them out of here. This happened because some crusty sergeant major or master sergeant saw all those pictures going viral of everybody in the Capitol building and said, we look nasty as shit. We need to get somewhere where everybody's not seeing it and making pictures. We need to do this right now. The commander was like, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's get them over here. It was good initiative, bad judgment. That's all it was.
And
relative
it just
to
National huge
Guard missions, is this isn't that hard. Right? Like, you know, what are they complaining about? I don't mean to diminish anything what they're, I don't know the full extent of their mission there in DC right now currently, but.
And I don't think it's mostly them that's complaining.
Yeah.
It's people complaining. I haven't seen much of, like, there are people, be it on Twitter, like complaining about it at all. Like, it's everybody complaining on their behalf. Mm-hmm. Like, you're in the military, you understand that you're in like a downtime, that you're going to have places that you're going to sit that suck. Like, if that's in a motor pool, if that's anywhere you're going to be, that's the way it is.
And they got a couple – some of the journalists went into the parking garage and they got a couple quotes from troops saying, like that they did feel betrayed and that this sucks and that the other day, blah, blah. So that didn't help matters at all. But, like, to me, it just
– but you're going to get that no matter what you
exactly.
You
could do that anywhere for any training mission. That's what you're going to get. And it just became –
go to a rifle range at fucking 5 o'clock in the morning on any Marine Corps base. That's exactly what
you're
going
to hear. And a sentiment that I started to see was, like, that I agreed with, which is why I think the whole story irked me so much. None of you care that we've been at war for 20 years. Why the fuck do you care if a few of us are taking a break in a parking garage? Like, why is this the thing you care about and not – some other thing? Because it's easy for you to politicize, to go post on your social media for your side or whatever and twist it the way you want. Like, it was just another case of using the troops for, like, people to be their own fucking mouthpiece that just...
And coming out there with your PR people to take videos of you doing these acts of kindness, get the fuck out of my face. You want to do it and let it come out later. That's what you did. Not putting it out by your PR person. You're just using it. That's the only reason why you're out there.
The whole story was just super annoying to me. Just like, ugh.
Yeah. But I do think it's, I don't think anybody actually ordered them to do it. I think it was, there was somebody who said that we looked nasty. Let's go out of sight.
Yeah. And then people were like, it was the Capitol Police who forced them out. And it was like, come on, guys, come on. It's.
All right. Let's move on to round number five. This one has to do with, I saw a thread going around on Twitter and I thought it was very interesting. What's the craziest thing someone you knew in uniform or said or believed? And you do, because people come from all facets of life. I think we've talked about this before, that people like to view the military audience and the military demographic as a broad brush of paint, like that everybody is the exact same. You have people that come from legitimately any type of life. Like, I had a dude that was a Wiccan, the religion Wicca, whenever I was in boot camp. And I was like, I've never met anybody that believes in Wicca before. I was like, this is crazy that that's the way it goes. It's not all people from the South doing their own thing. That's just not the way it is. So you get some crazy ideas that people believe in. Do you guys agree?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then all it has to happen is somebody with the smallest level of rank says it. Well, then it must be true. It must be gospel.
Mm-hmm. Which is scary considering that Michael Flynn used to be a three-star.
Terrifying, actually, yes.
Terrifying. Yeah. The first one that I want to go through, Chemical Fire, he said, I had a soldier who was so adamantly opposed to having a cell phone, he didn't want the government trademark to track him, that he tried to join an SMU with a one-hour recall. He legitimately tried to sell them on just giving him a walkie-talkie to give a hold of
him. Buddy, you're in the military. They're tracking you. The government knows about you. Yeah. Huh. Interesting.
The next one up, somebody named Chris said, I don't need to shower. I just don't sweat like normal people. There's so many people who believe that shit.
I mean, absolutely.
We had grown men having to sit in the barracks room of other grown men to make sure they showered. And even to the point where they had to give them lessons on how to shower properly all over again, because they didn't even know to get in their crevices and shit like that. Like, yeah.
Well, and what they don't realize when you don't shower, all the negative adverse effects of not showering, they just in their head, they're thinking, well, I'm just going to get dirty again tomorrow. What's the point of showering? Well, there's going to be some health effects if you don't shower, or at least baby wipe yourself. So you need to clean your nasty body.
Yeah. I had guys who thought that the bug treated camis that had that special coating on them that you didn't really have to wash them because they never smelled. And I'm like, no, you smell. I promise you fucking stink. Your uniform stinks. Wash it.
Yep. The next one up, he said, I had a Marine told me once that they didn't need to wash their bath towel because they clean themselves in the shower. So the towel can never be dirty.
This again, this is men.
I mean, logically, it makes sense.
Yes. From a pure black and white standpoint, like, okay, maybe that checks out. But then
logically,
you get one step past that and you realize, wait, that makes zero sense whatsoever.
But it doesn't really make a lot of sense how water can make something dirty, right? Like, even if it is just water that's coming on there, like wet water starts to become mold. Like, how does that happen?
But you're still putting your...
Why isn't the ocean all mold?
Your butthole's still touching that, and your butthole will never be clean. Fully. Okay.
No, I disagree with that. You can have
but no one else.
Oh.
This is a good one, this next one. Going back to our button in the... So this one supports me getting a milkshake when I press the button every time. A two-star medical officer, who was an MD, stated that you can live on any food. The body will make what it needs. Cheesecake? Yes, he said. His mother was an RD. He assured us.
Whoa.
I don't hate that logic.
I mean, wouldn't
that
be nice?
I can survive on milkshakes?
Yeah, I think that there is some... I don't think you could be as healthy as possible, but I think that there is some validity to that. Because, like, I've seen kids that live in my house survive for years on only macaroni. That's the only thing. Perfectly healthy otherwise. You just make what your body needs. And my wife, there's a dude that was also a doctor, and they worked together, and he said that he would get his calories sometimes from the day just from Starbucks drinks, like the ones that have like 400 or 500 calories. He would eat like 5 or 6 of those a day, and that's his 3,000
calories. Well, I remember reading the book Angela's Ashes, which is this beautiful, like, gut-wrenching story of an Irish family, generations of an Irish family during the famine, blah, blah, blah. And there's so...
Anytime it has ashes in the title, you know it's going to be a feel-good joint.
Yeah, so it's very... My big takeaway from it, because I read it in high school, was that the father survived off just a Guinness. He's like, it's Guinness has got all the vitamins and everything you need. So when I was in college sometimes, I was like, oh, all I need is Guinness, I'll be fine. I would go, like, when money was tight, I'd be like, I'll treat myself to a Guinness for dinner tonight. Or when I was doing stand up in the city, when I first moved back and got out of the military, I had no money, I would go to an open mic and be like, oh, I'll just have 2 Guinnesses, that'll be dinner.
Okay.
I convinced myself that was like food.
Okay.
Matt Damon survived on just potatoes on Mars, so there's some science to it.
And it's poop potatoes.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, poop potatoes are a different type of potatoes altogether. The next one up, when I was in LT, I had an S2 who was really into Y2K, stockpiled food and ammo, and bought property in Royal Michigan, which he fortified. He told the entire chain of command he wasn't coming back from block leave. He was just over for him. Good times.
Remember
I think
Y2K,
that's a good example
way?
Of what pre-9/11 military was.
Yeah, like. I love it. But do you remember Y2K? That was a real big deal. The young kids, they won't know about that, but we lived through it.
Well, we had a big Y2K party in our neighborhood, and all the kids were like, what's going to happen? Yeah. All that happened was our parents got too drunk.
Nothing happened at all. The next one up, your leadership training and skills will be highly sought after in the private sector.
That's why you got to lie and say you're a ranger.
It is. There's another one from Alexander who said, the corporal had never heard of George Washington and asked who he was. I believe that wholeheartedly. Yep.
I mean, we have people at work, Brianna Chicken Fry, born in 1999, didn't know who Dave Matthews was.
Oh, I got angry at her. I texted her about that. I was ridiculous. Because not only...
She was born in 1999.
Yeah, that's nuts, dude, isn't it? Not only, like, I get it. Like, maybe you don't know what a person looks like, but then they played a song and she didn't know what the song was either. They played Ants Marching. I don't know how you don't know what Ants Marching is. It's just preposterous to me. Some of these people that these young kids don't know. It's unreal.
Yeah.
But why do you think that is? Because we obviously didn't grow up in the 60s and 70s, and we know bands from that era. Why do you think kids these days, Jesus, how does that sound? Kids these days.
Uh-huh. Old guy cons coming
out. Why do you think that is? Like, I don't think she's lying.
Well, we knew the huge stars, I think, of the other ones. Like, if somebody would be like, if there was a band that a lot of people in the 70s knew, there's a good chance a 90 kid doesn't know who that is.
I think there's only one band that universally across the board, everybody knows. Kyle, hit it.
North was at the top of the maps. Whenever she turned, that was down north, unless she put it in reverse, in which case she was going south.
I could totally see me doing that.
That's a special lady.
There's a dude that was trying to tell, or I think it was a lady that was trying to tell Annalise where to pick up a prescription on base. It was a different pharmacy. And you're like, you go to the east side of the building. And Annalise calls. She's like, what the fuck is the east side of the building? I was like, I don't know what building you're at. Like, I don't know. I don't know what side you're on either. That's a weird way to explain it. The next one up, the hand sanitizer at boot camp made everybody sick. He said, I never used hand sanitizer before. Now they're making us use it, and we're all getting sick.
To which somebody replied, were you drinking it?
Yeah.
I mean, there is some, like, people have said that this quarantine helps you not get coronavirus, but the amount of, like, common cold and sicknesses and shit when people go back to work is going to be startling. Mm-hmm.
Because we've been in our little bubbles for so long.
It's like the preschool kindergarten effect. Whenever they all start going back to school, like, nobody's used to their germs anymore, so it's going to get all fucked up. I think that's going to happen big
time. I think there's some truth to that one.
That's why
this one is the most Lance Corporal-y thing I've ever heard. I can't get my girlfriend pregnant because my daddy had me circumcised when I was a baby. That someone definitely.
That's what happened to us. Me and my guy.
Oh.
I said no wizard sleeve. We're in the clear, and that was not the case.
Okay.
And the final one, a dude got a vasectomy about a year later. His wife got pregnant, and she convinced him some sperm must have been stuck in there and broke free.
Yikes. Oh, buddy.
That's just a dude that's in denial. It's like, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to Save for Allison's Alibis. Cons, we'll start with you. What do you got?
Okay, let's see. First up. Congrats, Army men's and women's basketball beat Navy. Nice on Sunday. Number two, did you guys see Coach K's press conference where he went after the student reporter?
No, I heard about it though.
Yes.
Basically, Kate, he was in a crappy mood because they had just lost. Duke is not having a great year, and the coach or the reporter, the student, I don't know what year he was, said, you know, how are you gonna? What are you looking forward to, or how do you come back from this? And he went into this tirade asking him what his hardest class is, and if he had a bad test, how would he look forward from that? Bottom line, he kind of bullied the kid because at this point, at Duke, Coach K is this mythical figure who intimidates a lot of people. So I think when you go so long and people just are constantly propping you up, that people are afraid a lot of times to, one, tell you the truth about a lot of things, and two, just go against anything you have to do. It was just a bad look for Coach K. I was kind of a little disappointed to see that from a man who otherwise has a great deal of knowledge about leadership and being a good person. So,
yeah, that's Duke.
He gets Firewatch for that.
He looked like a dick.
And then finally, did you guys see the hullabaloo this past weekend about President Biden's watch?
Oh yeah, they got a, had a Rolex.
Have
yeah.
we not seen the photos of Trump's old apartment in New York? Like, what are we upset about? Like, and I
yeah,
think
no, I mean, well, you know, I don't. This is going to sound snobby, but the watch that he was wearing, the model, it's not that expensive. It's not that extravagant. I think people automatically think Rolex. They think like, oh my God, that's so crazy that you could afford a Rolex. There's plenty of Rolexes that are under 10 grand, and that's just not ridiculous for a man who's, you know, presumably maybe invested his money wisely over.
I mean, you can get a Rolex for a lot cheaper than 10
grand. Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. You can get it for a few thousand dollars, depending on the model that you get. But yeah, Kate, there, I mean, and not just Trump, but plenty of presidents have had.
Like, why are we pretending they don't have? And also, I saw photos of, they think maybe it was his late son's watch, and that he's.
It is his
yeah,
son's,
it's his
yeah.
late
it was
son's watch. So, okay. So. Yeah, I'd want to wear something that, if I had a dead kid, I'd want to wear something that reminded me of them too. I don't know.
And also, he's successful. Yeah. He has expensive yeah. shit. Like, it's the same thing, like, when it was the same exact thing when Dr. Bricks, I think her name is, when she was wearing a different type of expensive scarf every day. Like, yes, she is a doctor who leads in her field and has for a long time. She has a lot yeah. of money. Yeah.
And also, like, when you've been in politics that long, I'm sure you know plenty of wealthy donors. It could have been a gift. I mean, obviously we said it was his son's, but this is basically just me saying a Rolex isn't as big of a flex as everybody thinks it is.
Right, yeah.
Just don't tell that to the producer of Spittin' Chicklets.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry,
Mikey. That would hurt Granella's
Sorry,
phones.
Mikey.
What about you, Kyle? What do you got?
If you guys were in the Oval Office and you got to pick one arcade game, what would it be to be in the Oval Office?
Easy for me, Golden Tee.
Golden
yeah,
Tee?
Golden,
okay.
Golden Tee's good.
That's a
golden,
good one.
All right. If Chaps is taking Golden Tee, I'm taking NBA Jam. Anything where you can get multiple people involved, I think, is the move. Because it's, you know, tough meeting. Like, let's go play some NBA Jam. Let's just cool down.
Okay.
Let's play some Golden Tee.
You know what? I'm Googling it right now. Erotic Photo Hunt.
Ooh, I love Photo Hunt.
Photo Hunt in the bars. Oh man, yeah, I used to get ripped at this at college, and there was this erotic photo hunt, and me and the girls would just sit there forever.
What is erotic photo hunt? I don't know if I've ever
really?
Seen it.
They didn't have it at Bible school?
No, they didn't have one at Bible school.
So you remember the bar games where they would have these old, like,
just a picture of Bathsheba bathing on the rooftop?
They have these old.
Well, do you know what Photo Hunt is? Do you know what just plain old Photo Hunt is? All right, so you remember those old highlights magazines where they would show you two pictures and you'd have to pick the differences? That's all it is. Mm-hmm. And then erotic is,
so
you can imagine.
You're looking at this little computer screen sitting on the bar. It's an old-ass computer screen. Two photos pop up, and it's like a lady bent over in a thong holding on to her tits. And there's two of them, and you get to touch the screen and pick the differences between the two photos. And however fast you do it,
big flaps, little
how many
flaps.
Things you pick out like in the photo that are different. So it's called Erotic Photo Hunt. But there it was in a lot of like shithole bars you could find this game.
Oh,
and
that's a dive bar staple.
I have a porn pitch that I want to give
Please.
You guys.
Mm-hmm.
Please right, don't.
So what if you make an app and you know, like it's on an iPad. So it's just an iPad or a tablet. And whenever you're going through the pictures where, you know, like if you want to maximize something or zoom in, where you do like the pull method where you like put your fingers together and you pull it out and it'll expand. What if you did that, but you can open up certain parts? Like if and you could be like, look in somebody's butthole and then close it back up.
No.
Like pinch pull method.
Kyle?
My arcade game would be Street Fighter.
Kyle, I swear to God, that was the other one I was thinking of.
Well, see, and here's why.
Not the pinch pull method, you guys.
No, Street Fighter, though. That's
all the visiting foreign dignitaries would have to play with their country's representative.
Oh, yes.
That's how we would settle shit.
Yeah,
you want to
step
up?
Yeah, but that
to...
could get. I mean, the racism charges might be pretty extreme there.
Hadouken. I mean, we'll put a disclaimer on it, like Disney.
Hadouken.
Yeah.
What's racist
Tiger
about
Flame.
That?
I don't hate that.
What about if one of my favorite ones, if they had it at an arcade, I always played it once, the California Dreamin'.
Yes, the two, if they had the two next to each other, that was a good one. Absolutely.
And also if they did the one where you're on like a motorcycle, Like, imagine having, like, Netanyahu that was, like, on the other motorcycle, and Biden and Netanyahu are, like, going back and forth. And like, Bazarov has to come over and be like, let's figure this shit out.
But we also put in skee ball, and then if you get tickets, you get to take something out of the Oval Office as ski your ball. Prize.
Yeah. Dude, that's how we can decide the 50-50 split in the yep. Senate. Just have yep. them come out there, and they have to video game yes. war. Like, that's the way
trial
it goes.
By combat.
Like, imagine you have Mitch McConnell versus Chuck Schumer in Dance Dance Revolution. They're just trying to crush it on the Senate floor to see who gets to seat somebody in the chairman of the
that
judiciary.
Would be, how
high
many?
Score, did I break something? High score.
If we made every member on Capitol Hill do Dance Dance Revolution, how many do you think would make it out alive without having heart attacks?
I think AOC was. I think she's a big Peloton yeah. lady.
Maybe like five people would survive. Definitely.
That'd be a way to get the old out.
Exactly. Our guy Gallagher mm-hmm. yeah. could do it. Yeah. I think olds. Some of the old. But it would be hilarious to see somebody like Mitch McConnell try to do Dance Dance Revolution. Would be hilarious. It would actually, if they were smart, they would do that. Like, where you would have something like that to humanize yeah. everybody. They should just have yeah. a Senate game night. Where they bring out all kinds of stuff and put it in there like a carnival, broadcast it on C-SPAN where everybody's going
to
get it.
I would like to see a talent
show. Like a land party.
I would like to see like a talent show kind of night where they, like how Andrew Yang's trying to pretend he's a normal New Yorker right now and he like didn't know how yeah. to work the bushel of bananas in the bodega. And he's like, hello, fellow cool teens. There should be.
Yeah, it was really strange whenever somebody asked him how he was doing on Twitter. He's like, hey, I'm working.
Yeah, it was very. I would like to see a night where everybody in Senate has to give their best attempt at being a normal human, like a fellow American, and what their idea of that is. And they, it's like
yeah,
a
yeah, but before you do that, you have to make sure that you unplug Ted Cruz and plug him back in.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm sorry.
Someone's going to have to teach Liz Warren how to open a beer first.
Yeah.
I'm just
true. They should put the little bottle opener on the back of their seat at the Senate and be like, oh, here we go again.
Yes.
Like, I need a great tasting
Nancy
filling.
Pelosi. I'm just one of the girls, except this ice cream costs $45.
What is this, ice cream for Porsche? No, ma'am, it's Breyers. Like, people really
yeah,
like
try it.
I was just thinking about Nancy Pelosi doing Dance Dance Revolution. That just made me chuckle. I'm sorry.
Ooh.
Yeah, her ankles wouldn't survive. No
Every
shot.
Politician no. should have her to spend the weekend with a normie.
Yeah.
Like, you just get dropped off. Mitch McConnell.
Go to like
what about a political
tailgate.
Series yeah. where Frank the Tank goes home with a senator every weekend where they have to show him like around?
I, yeah. I no, think they should have they, to go to him.
They have to go to Frank.
Yeah.
yeah.
Into it. Oh, go. Yeah. yeah.
Absolutely. They gotta
get
Mitch
a
has
pizza
to climb
delivery.
Through the window. Yeah.
That would be great.
I think, watch I the think shit
that
out of that.
Definitely has some lunch.
I mean, it would be hilarious to see Mitch McConnell trying to ask for a pizza from the window.
Let's talk
I
to got, Representative
you know what?
Kinzinger.
We should down. Really, honestly, the next time we go to Washington, whenever that may be, there are certain people we should just bring with us that have nothing to do with Zero Block 30, just other Barstool people, and just bring
Caleb.
Them with us. Yeah, Caleb would be great, I think. Frank the Tank would be
Give
great.
Give that look.
Yeah. I think that definitely can
All
work.
All right. Kate, save rounds?
Nothing. No, that's it for me.
Did I already say Kyle?
No.
Yeah, yeah. Mine was the video games and the Oval
oh, that's
Office.
Right. That's good. I don't really have anything. It's been a good little weekend here at my house. Still teaching how to drive.
Yeah, how's that going? How's that going? Like, I remember learning how to drive, and I don't know. I had like somewhat of a foundation from driving golf carts and driving a ride-on lawnmower, so I kind of got some things. How do you teach someone who's just nothing? They get in the seat. What's been your method?
Just little baby steps. I'm really going back to how I would teach in the Marine Corps. Like, it's really taught me a lot of patience, because teaching dog handlers, if they're stressed, we always say that stress goes down leash and the dogs will be able to tell too. So in that moment, even as a leader of Marines, you have to be super calm, like whenever you're telling them. So no matter what's going on, I really don't break like nervousness or anything. I'm very calm in that situation. So I think that's really been helpful. And two, I demonstrate the same thing I would, like, your next period of instruction is going to be reversing. And in this period of instruction, we're going to tell you how to, and we'll go like through the whole process of what I'm teaching her how to do. And she's doing pretty good at
there
it. So
go.
Good.
I love it.
We went on the road for the first Whoa. Time, actually, out of the parking lot, through a neighborhood over speed bumps for the Wow. first time, like earlier this week. And it was something Yeah. like going through, because she's like super nervous about getting too far out and going around cars, and I'm worried about kids darting out and her not feeling super comfortable going from gas to brake. It is crazy to think that you don't go from not driving to driving this 1,000-pound thing super fast in neighborhoods around kids and shit. It really is a wild thing.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Kate.
Well, sometimes I'm amazed at this comedian. I forget which comedian it was. I think Andy Richter was saying he's teaching his daughter to drive right now, and she's been super nervous about it. And he said the one thing he told her that calmed her down was like, look how many idiots are driving, and they're fine. You can do it, I promise.
Like, but what I was going to say was, it's crazy that we as a country, there's no like, hey, let's check back in and see how this person's doing with driving. It's just like, once you get that license, you're good to go. You're 90, you can't see. Man, we don't care. You can still have that license. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's because those old fucks vote. That's the reason why. That's the reason why we have it, because the old fucks won't tolerate it.
Meanwhile,
if they didn't vote and they didn't donate primarily to political funds, there's no shot we wouldn't have, like, you have to redo. I mean, every 5 years at least after you turn 65,
hopefully most families, we had to do a family intervention once and one of our older relatives ping-ponged off every car on their street. We had to be like, all right, it's time. I'm so sorry.
Well, that's
probably should have gave a little before.
Kate, that's the thing. That's the thing. Everyone's too prideful. They're not going to self-police themselves. Everyone's always going to say, oh, no, I'm fine. I can drive. Oh, I'm not drunk. I can drive.
Well, because that's your freedom. That. And that's a really hard thing to give up.
Right. And once remember that Marine that lived in Austin and he was like 107 years old? He was the last, like one of the last living World War II veterans from his unit. And whenever he came out, he was like, yeah, I'm still driving at 103. Like, I'm like, you shouldn't be, though. Like, I understand that you feel like you're crushing it, but you're probably actually going to be crushing somebody.
Yes, exactly. So. Exactly. So that's our take on driver's licenses.
Yeah, that's talking drivers. We'll see you guys on Friday. Big interview coming up. Look forward to that. You're going to love the interview that you hear on Friday. It's on the retreat.